This is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. I'm Jenny Nyman, and it's time for the Kenai Conversation. The Ketchumak Bay Science Conference and Kenai Peninsula Fish Habitat Symposium are right around the corner, March 15th through the 18th. They're virtual this year and free to attend for anyone who is interested, with lots of interesting sessions and lots of things to learn. To find out more, you can register and find an agenda at ketchumakbayscience.org. Or stay tuned this hour and you'll hear from organizers and presenters. This was recorded at KBBI in Homer with Kathleen Gustafson as host. The guests are Brandon Borneman and Ben Myers from the Kenai Watershed Forum, Cooey Walker and Sabrine Bentz from Ketchumak Bay National Estuarine Research Reserve, Katie Gavanis from the Center of Alaskan Coastal Studies, and Chris Holdereed from NOAA and the Kasitna Bay Lab. Here's Kathleen.
The topic is the upcoming Ketchumak Bay Science Conference and Kenai Peninsula Fish Habitat Symposium. It's happening March 15th through the 18th, and there is a whole lot going on and plenty of people here to let you know how you can sign up and what's going to be going on. So let's check in on guests. First is Brandon Borneman from the Kenai Watershed Forum. Brandon, are you there?
I am, Kathleen. Can you hear me?
Great. Yeah, I hear you just fine.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome. How about Katie Gavanis from the Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies? Are you there?
Kathleen, can you hear me?
I hear you just fine. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Great. And so next, let's try for Sabrina Bentz.
Hi, Kathleen. This is Sabrina. Good to connect with you.
Awesome. Sabrina Bentz is from Ketchumak Bay National Estuarine Research Reserve. And I'm going to start with Katie Gavanis and Sabrina Bentz. A brief history of the conference. Do you know how long this has been going on?
Typically, they happen every 3 years. It's been going on quite a while. I think my records go back to at least 2002.
Next, I want to start with Sabrina and Katie because they're on short time, and also because I went to ketchumakbayscience.org, and that's where a person would go to register for the conference, and I printed out an agenda, and I'm looking at it right now, and Katie and Sabrina, you guys are running the community panels and the virtual field trips. I want to start with Katie. Katie, can you talk about the community panels that you are producing?
Yeah, so I've been working really closely with Marilyn Sigman and Chris Holdereed on this, and just want to make sure, can you hear me okay, Kathleen?
Yep, just fine.
Okay, great. And so we've got two community panel discussions that'll be taking place in the late afternoon or early evening, so 4:30 to 6 o'clock on Monday, March 15th and Wednesday, March 17th. And the focus of these panel discussions is really on science that's taking place in Ketchumak Bay that is, you know, doesn't fit quite as neatly into the academic science that makes up the bulk of the presentations during the day. And so we're thinking about the science that people do every day as part of their work and lives when they're commercial fishermen or oyster farmers, subsistence harvesters. That's really the focus of that second panel discussion on Wednesday.
This is fisheries and farms, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And our
go ahead.
Well, I wondered about the community panels, the live panel. How much of this is going to be accessible to people? So everybody is going to be logging in for these talks, everyone who registers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, everyone is welcome to join those talks. We'll have 5 to 6 featured panelists and some questions prepared ahead of time that the moderator will be leading. And then we also will have time for lots of question and answer with the audience, sort of facilitated by the moderator. Well, registration is free.
Oh!
So I would, and up until, you know, the end of the science conference. So I would strongly suggest that everyone just go ahead and register.
Right, because in fact, I was wondering, why can't I find out how much this costs? And now I understand. Now,
and then I wanted to mention briefly.
Go ahead.
The Monday panel is focused on citizen science and community-based monitoring. So that'll be things like, whale observations, the bird counts that happen in the Shorebird Festival, sea star surveys and things, and then also science that's happening through Seldovia Village Tribe's environmental program.
Terrific. So that's Monday and Wednesday from 4:30 to 6. Mm-hmm. But on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 4:30 to 6, Sabrina Bentz is producing virtual field trips. And Sabrina, if you could talk to us a little bit about, first of all, the one on Tuesday, salmon conservation in winter.
Sure. So virtual field trips were a second set of special events that we wanted to produce in addition to the scientific program. And the virtual field trips will basically be kind of an exploration of our lands and waters. So on Tuesday, March 16th, we're going to be looking at what salmon are doing winter in our landscape. And on Thursday, March 18th, we're going to be doing an underwater tour of Kachemak Bay. I think what Chris was saying is that they're going to showcase some of the videography and what they're finding in Kachemak Bay, but they're also going to talk about the technical aspects of exploring underwater, how they do it, how they really get the information that they're looking for and how they collect data. I could back up a little bit, Kathleen, too, and give a little bit more of a overarching view or focus of the conference this year, if you'd like.
Go ahead, please.
Great. As a coordinating organizations that you have on the coffee table here, the science conference is really steered by guidance from a committee of the local and research and education community. And this year's focus is conversations in conservation. It's kind of a tongue twister. But we were pleasantly surprised to receive about 50 abstracts for presentations. Usually this is a week-long in-person event, but we've shifted gears quite a bit to virtually engage with our community of environmental researchers, educators, and decision makers this year. So in addition to those special events, like the community science panels and the virtual field trips, we have organized a lot of the science talks into pre-recorded talks and sessions. So you kind of can see the rest of the agenda built out around these film fest, pre-recorded talks that people can access whenever they want, so they don't have to be there live to see the talks. And then panel discussions similar to the ones Katie presented about community science based on freshwater, nearshore, and marine ecosystems. We also have special spotlight sessions on species of local interests like clams, otters, seabirds, sea stars, and rockfish. And I'm really excited that we have other speakers on the coffee table today because they're session coordinators and they can tell you more about some of those other science sessions.
Terrific. Thank you so much. Now, I want to go back to Katie for a few minutes because you are working on the series Spotlight Sea Stars, which Sabrina was just alluding to. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So we'll have three presenters for the Species Spotlight on Sea Stars. Myself, Shelby Bacchus, and Sarah Traeger, and I'll be talking a little bit about sort of sea star wasting syndrome in Kachemak Bay and how people have been involved in documenting it. But then Shelby and Sarah will actually be talking about sort of the impact of changing oceans and sea star population changes on prey species, specifically limpets and mussels. So it's a pretty interesting look at kind of, you know, how this one phenomena of sea star wasting syndrome And also, more generally, changing ocean impacts on sea stars ripples out both into ecology and human communities. And then we'll have some time for a live question and answer afterwards.
Terrific. Now, I'm looking at the agenda right now, and I'm trying to find, because I want to make sure we hear from you about a lot of the things you're doing. If have I missed anything? I thought, because I know you have to get out soon.
There's one more thing that I'm involved with alongside colleagues from Pratt Museum and from Coastal Studies, which is hosting a community conversation on the last evening.
This is the story sharing circle.
Yeah.
So
it's an opportunity for people to reflect back on what they've heard at the science conference, what stood out to them, and sort of what is feeling important in science in Kachemak Bay in the 3 years leading up to the science conference, but also looking forward.
Okay. Thanks, Katie. And if you could stay on the line for a few more minutes, I'm going to bring Sabrina back. Because the question I have for the two of you is, what are the things that you're excited about listening to or hearing about that we haven't really discussed yet? So, Katie, is there anything on your list that you're going to, because are you going to be attending these panels as well?
I am going to be attending these panels, yes. It's going to be a busy few days. I'm really looking forward to it. One thing in particular that I'm excited about is there's a pretty strong focus on groundwater and peatlands and watersheds, which is something that I don't deal as much with on a daily basis. So it's going to be fun to sit in on those sessions and learn and think about how it's connected to the marine environment that I operate in more.
Thanks. That's Katie Gavanis from the Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies. I want to bring in Sabrina Bentz one more time because you are producing the freshwater panel on Tuesday. Tuesday starts off with a science session, freshwater and wetlands, and then moves on to the freshwater panel discussion, which Kui, Brandon, and Sabrina are all working on. And Sabrina to talk a little bit about the organization of the morning. So what's going to happen during the science session? Is that a mix of pre-recording and live presentations, or how does that go?
So we're trying to make this conference as accessible as possible to people who are joining us virtually. So each talk in the morning will be pre-recorded and available the week before the conference. So that if, you know, it seems like a long day to attend all of the live sessions on that Tuesday, there'll be a link where people can view the pre-recorded videos. So all of the science talks will be available and will be live streamed during the morning. And then the live panel discussion from 12 to 1, and this is kind of the similar schedule for each day, that will focus kind of on a deep dive Q&A with the speakers who have submitted pre-recorded talks. And it will be facilitated and moderated by Kui Walker from the Research Reserve and Brandon Bornman from the Watershed Forum.
And Brandon, can you talk a little bit about the freshwater panel? Because that's one of yours that Sabrina was just mentioning, that you're a chair for that. And then I want to move on and talk about some of the other things you're going to be involved in. So Ben Meyer is also from the Kenai Watershed Forum, and he is on the panel, which Brandon Bornman will be chairing. So can I start with Brandon, and you talk a little bit about what's going on at Freshwater and Wetlands Science Session?
Sure. Thanks, Kathleen. Can you hear me?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, great. Yeah, so we mentioned a few times in the intro, but the Watershed Forum organizes the Kenai Peninsula Fish Habitat Partnership, which is one of 20 nationwide partnerships. And we've been around since about 2010, and we focus our work on freshwater and terrestrial environments and the marine environment. Most of our efforts are focused on freshwater. So we have a conservation action plan that Cooey and a number of people on this phone call were involved in producing. And that plan really points us towards what are some of the major freshwater threats to conservation and ecological work on the Kenai Peninsula. And from that threat assessment, we've been working through our top four priorities, which are two of the top priorities are presentations that are in this session, and that focuses on injurious invasive aquatic species. So we have a number of those types of species on the peninsula, and we have a number of fantastic partnership-led efforts that focus on addressing those species and keeping those environments healthy, furthering our understanding of those things and actionable items that we can take on the ground to address some of these freshwater threats. So I will also say that the partnership itself, we hold a science conference every 2 years. So every 6 years, we have the privilege of overlapping with the Kachemak Bay Science Conference, and we're just delighted and tickled pink to be able to work with our friends down in Homer and have, a little bit of a freshwater perspective in a really marine-dominated environment, and looking forward to hearing those connections from the presentations and the panel discussion.
Thanks, Brandon Bornman. And Ben Meyer is on the line. Ben, you're presenting on water quality during the science session, the freshwater and wetlands session. Can you give us a preview or talk about the work you've been doing to make that make ready for that presentation?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. You hear me okay?
Hear you just fine.
Okay. Yeah, like Brandon said, it's a real pleasure to be able to join with everyone in the Homer research community this year. And there's a lot of different topics in the freshwater and wetlands session that morning, ranging from groundwater to some topics on invasive species to some presentations having to do with volunteer programs. As far as my own presentation, I'm going to be sharing an overview of several different projects I'm involved with water quality monitoring on the Kenai Peninsula. Three of them are, well, the first one is called the Kenai River Baseline Water Quality Monitoring Project. This is a program that Kenai Watershed Forum has helped implement for the last 20 years, where twice a year we work with a big group of agencies and volunteers to sample water quality throughout the Kenai Peninsula. So we have a continuous data set from the last 20 years of different water quality samples from all throughout the Kenai River. And it's a really amazing program, and it's really rare to have a data set that long in terms of ecological science of this nature. So we're excited to be continuing that, and I'm gonna share a few highlights from it. Another project I'm involved with is beach bacteria monitoring in the lower Kenai River. Since 2010, the Kenai Watershed Forum has sampled bacteria concentrations in the lower Kenai River throughout the summer, and especially during the height of the dipnet fishery season. So I'll share a few highlights from that project. And the last project I'm gonna talk about that I'm involved with has to do with monitoring water quality out at a lake north of Nikiski called Vogel Lake, where an invasive pike population was discovered in 2019. And we're currently working with several different agencies and organizations to develop a management plan to address the issue of invasive pike out in those lakes, because they can really decimate salmon populations once they get loose. So those are some of the highlights from my own talk, and I'm especially looking forward to hearing from everyone else in this session too.
Thanks so much. Now, before I go, I'm going to go to Chris Holdereed in just a moment, but I know we're just about to lose Sabrina Bentz and Katie Gavanis. So, Katie, is there anything that you'd like to add before you log off and get on with your day?
The only thing I'd like to say is that it's been really wonderful to work with this group of people and to build on the history and legacy of the science conference. And I think even though we're operating in a different mode this year, it's going to be really great. And I'm excited to learn with everyone and invite people from around Kachemak Bay and the Lower Kenai Peninsula and beyond to join us. March 15th through 18th.
Thanks for the invitation. And Sabrina, is there anything that you'd like to add before it's time for you to log off?
Oh, I would just echo Katie's sentiments and mention just in addition that we, you know, Kachemak Bay and the Kenai Peninsula is a magnet for science and research, and we have a lot of great information that's generated in our area. And I would just like to acknowledge and thank everybody that's been involved in coordinating and developing this program this year, and recognize that there's really a diversity of presenters and panelists that have become involved, and including everything from undergraduate students, graduate students, state agencies, federal agencies and researchers and academics, as well as some really amazing community scientists. So I'm really just thankful for everybody's participation this year.
And Sabrina, before you log off, I know we almost covered this earlier, but we were having all kinds of tech issues. And so can you tell people about what will happen during the virtual field trip for salmon conservation in winter, which is Tuesday at 4:30?
Sure. Yeah. So it'll be similar to the underwater tour in that we will have a group of scientists and educators, and we'll explore through videos, through some science concepts, and some just discussion about what salmon are doing on the landscape in winter, and some of the conservation strategies and ideas for keeping salmon healthy.
Well, I can't wait for that one. I'm very much looking forward to it. So, Sabrina Bentz, thanks so much for being on the coffee table this morning. Sabrina is from Kachemak Bay National Estuary and Research Reserve, and she is a part of the Kachemak Bay Science Conference. Ooh, I have a question for you before you go. What's HABS? What's HABS?
HABS. Great. Yeah, we have a special topic for one of the science panels, the 12 o'clock science panels, and it's harmful algal blooms. So that's become a more recent issue in our region of the world. And so we've got a panel of experts, local community monitoring experts, ocean observing systems, academic researchers, and federal researchers to discuss what the recent findings are for harmful algal blooms in our area.
And are they developing, is it because of warming, of ocean warming?
Well, Kathleen, you should probably attend the science panel to find out.
I guess I better. Okay, thanks, Sabrina Bentz. Now, I'm headed for Chris Holderreed. Chris, you're from NOAA, and you are chairing the marine panel, the science panel, on Thursday. But I think you also said you wanted to add something about the freshwater panel?
Actually, on the nearshore panel on Wednesday as well.
Oh.
So, Kathleen, can you hear me now?
Yes, I got you loud and clear and no echo whatsoever.
Hooray. Well, good morning. And I'm Chris Holder, and I'm with the NOAA Kitsitsina Bay Lab. And delighted to be part of the science conference. You know, they've been talking about this being done every 3 years. The first year was 2003. I've been involved since the one in 2006. And we've had it kind of be done a little bit differently each time, as we adapt to sort of the organizations and things like that. But the parts that have been really consistent are the partnerships between the organizations that you've already mentioned, you know, with Katie and Sabrina, and with the Fish Habitat Partnership, and with our lab, and with the university. And it really speaks to this combination of organizations and people we have. But the other piece is that the conference has always been oriented towards community members and bringing students in, and that's probably my favorite part of it. So that this mix of things we have. So I'll say that's just my little plug for the science conference. I really appreciate what Sabrina and Katie have done in particular to make it work virtually, and the tech support behind them. And I think it's going to be really great and give people things to look at over a period of time. For the science sessions that we have in the morning, so that Brandon and Ben talked about the freshwater one. And really, you know, one of the thoughts in Kachemak Bay is that the freshwater coming into the ocean is what creates this estuary and what supports a lot of the amazingly rich life we have, both in the near shore as well as out in the deeper parts of the bay. So this mix is really what gives us, you know, makes Ketchumak Bay kind of what it is, right? How it supports all the fish and the animals and the plants that we see. And so the session that's on Wednesday, which is around near shore ecosystems, is really looking at that interface. So you're looking from the streams into the immediate near shore water along there and looking kind of at everything. You know, how do these glacial streams affect the plants and the animals that live right there? And one of the projects that's going on in the bay right now is a National Science Foundation project that the University of Alaska Fairbanks is running. And they're looking at five sites along the bay, south side of the bay, from a watershed that has no glacial input, which is Jackalof, the river's there, up to Gruink Glacier River, which has 60% glacial coverage in the watershed. So there'll be a lot of talks on that on Wednesday, sort of around, you know, what's happening in the rivers. How does this look different with the input coming in? What does that mean for the mussels? What does that mean for nearshore fish? Hey, how do these bigger patterns of like heat waves and things affect the nearshore system? We've seen those big changes in the past few years, and also looking at kelp. So kind of a range of things in the nearshore. And that's the Wednesday.
Okay.
And then for Thursday, the panel that I'll chair that morning is really, now let's step out a little bit more into the bay itself and looking at what are the patterns that we've seen in the water, whether it's the circulation patterns and what that means for things like fish, like oil spills, like harmful algal blooms, like ocean acidification. And then look at some of the measurements that have been made around ocean acidification and some really interesting things. Like, you know, I would have thought, I'm a physical oceanographer, I tend to look at how the water's moving and river and ocean water and mix. It would not have occurred to me to think that ocean acidification, you know, the carbonate chemistry of the water, is affected more by biology and the, you know, the phytoplankton than by the water. It's like, that's not what I would have thought to start with. But if you want to hear more about that, come listen in on Thursday morning.
Oh, that
so
sounds...
those are some of the things, plus going into some talks on marine debris and from Hannah Myers on whales for Thursday.
Oh, that sounds terrific. Thanks so much for that. The next thing I want to ask, is there anybody here? Let's see, Brandon, are you back?
Yes, thank
you.
Hey, very
definitely. How's it going, Brandon? I want to get back to you because I want to make sure I'm covering all the work that you're doing during the science symposium and conference. I have you chairing the freshwater panel. What else are you going to be involved in while the conference is going on?
Well, like hopefully many of your listeners today, I'll also be attending the conference. So I hope to have some time to just personally take it all in, learn from some of the experts that we have here, like Chris and Kui and Sabrina. I think I'll highlight a couple things that have been alluded to throughout this conversation today, but really are the foundation of this conference and the science that makes up this conference, and which has made it up for many, many years. So it's a community effort, and you know, we're looking forward to welcoming and having an open virtual conference that folks can participate in actively, and we hope they take that opportunity to come and interact with some of these experts. We certainly can't cover it all, but I believe we've picked some really, really fascinating topics here. And like Sabrina said earlier, there's so many experts in our area. It's almost overwhelming at times. And hopefully this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg for folks understanding and learning what's going on and really taking away that, you know, us as scientists, we live in your community. We are, you know, we're recreating, we're using these environments just like you are. It's important that we hear from you when we share our work and how this influences your daily life, and any information you can provide. I think, you know, people live on these landscapes for long periods of time because we all love it, we all care for it, and we all get a lot from it. And so I think keeping that connection and understanding that there's knowledge at all levels, and we're incredibly open and hopeful that folks from the community come out to participate. This has been a big part of the conference in the past. And Chris did mention the graduate student and student connection. It's important for our young minds to hear from all aspects of our community and understand that science is really a big, giant, collaborative effort, even though there's a lot of individual efforts that make it up. So I know I didn't answer your specific question. The background work behind the conference has been a lot of people and too many people to mention here, but I will mention that the Kenai Watershed Forum and via the Fish Habitat Partnership has been kind of putting all our employees in different spots to help move the conference forward. And just wanted to thank Galen Hecht with us. He's our Streamwatch coordinator and media coordinator, and he's been doing a lot of the same thing and technical background things for this conference. And of course, Ben,